The Trump transition. We'll have three money angles to start the week. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There are early questions of ethics and propriety after President-elect Trump met last week with three business partners from India. They're involved with Trump Towers Mumbai. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is following this. Lewis, good morning.
Good morning.
So who are these visitors that Donald Trump spent some time with in New York the other day?
So they are real estate developers. And quickly on how Trump's business works, a lot of his deals are essentially branding deals. These three visitors paid him a lot of money to put the Trump name on a luxury apartment complex they're building right now south of Mumbai. And they've told Indian newspapers recently that they're excited to work more with the president-elect.
All right. Now, being president then could be good for the Trump family business.
Yeah, it seems that way. And especially when, like I said, what he's selling is largely a brand name. Trump, in a lot of cases, being the most powerful person in the free world, can't hurt. Trump spokespeople called the meeting informal, and they said it was a courtesy call. They also declined to answer questions about whether the meeting was about business.
And if this was a business meeting at some level, would this be a violation of some kind?
Well, it's actually not clear on a legal level. Presidents are actually exempt from a lot of traditional ethics rules that apply to other elected officials. Still, they usually do recuse themselves from things for reasons of public trust and public pressure, to make sense. But now there's not apparently a plan for Trump to shut down his businesses or put them in an actual blind trust that's run by someone independent. He is putting his family members in charge of the business instead. So the other interesting thing, and maybe the biggest deal, is that we don't even necessarily know about all of Trump's businesses around the world. We know he has interests in China, Turkey, Indonesia, United Arab Emirates, more than a dozen other countries where U.S. policy could also matter going forward. But it's not public information. He's never released his tax returns, and their reporting is depending on what he's chosen to reveal. This situation is unprecedented.
It's interesting. So the blind trust, that is a tradition. It's not necessarily something that's put down in law.
Right. Yeah. It's just something that there's been a lot of pressure on past presidents to go ahead and do. And Trump has not said that he will.
So that could be an emerging public debate, I suppose.
Yep. And it's going to be ongoing.
All right. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace here with us this morning. Thank you. Let us check the markets. The 100 share index in London is up by 0.5%. The DAX index in Germany is up 0.4%. The Nikkei index in Japan went up 0.8%. In Hong Kong, the Hang Seng index, the key index there, up 13 points, not quite 0.1%. What about stock index futures in the North American time zone here? We have the Dow future up just 6 points, a little bit more of a rise for the S&P 500, up about 0.2%, a similar percentage rise for the NASDAQ Composite Index. Checking crude, quite a rise there, 1.9% for crude traded on the New York Mercantile Exchange. It's going at $46.56 a barrel. With a new presidential administration on the way, here's how power is actually transferred in America. People from the new team start showing up after the election at various federal offices to get the lay of the land. A military metaphor is used for this, landing teams, like in Normandy on D-Day. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports on the economic policy landing team.
The economic landing team will establish beachheads at places like the Treasury Department. They'll be doing the homework for about 4,000 government workers Trump will appoint, the top layer of management at government agencies. But then there are more than 2 million federal workers just in the executive branch. They're not appointed and won't be leaving with President Obama. Jack Pitney teaches political science at Claremont McKenna College. He says these federal workers will show the landing teams how their agencies run.
By way of drafting regulations, by way of preparing budgets, anticipating problems.
Republican strategist Ron Christie says the economic landing team will have some very specific questions.
What are the forecasts for the national debt and the deficit? What's the forecast for the interest on the national debt?
Christie says the landing team will also want to know what sanctions are in place against other countries and, of course, the status of trade agreements. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer. For Marketplace.
This season on Codebreaker, we have a new big question that we are asking about one kind of technology in every episode. The question, can it save us? Listen, decode, and decide. You can subscribe now on iTunes.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in Washington was created in the wake of the last financial collapse to keep financial firms from bamboozling or ripping off consumers. It spends a lot of time looking at the fine print of banks, credit unions, payday lenders. This CFPB says its actions have returned about $11.7 billion to consumers. But the agency has a lot of power, and it is a thorn in the side of banks and Republicans who would like to hobble it or get rid of it in the early Trump administration. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
Critics say the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau burdens lenders with excessive regulation.
It's made it much more costly for banks and non-banks that are in the consumer finance space to operate.
Alan Kaplinsky is an attorney at Ballard Spahr who represents some of these banks. And he says they end up passing these costs down to consumers.
They've had to change the way they do business, some of them increasing the fees that they charge or making credit less available to people who aren't as creditworthy.
Representative Bill Huizenga, a Republican, says his party wants to make the CFPB more accountable. The GOP would like Congress to oversee the Bureau's funding and to replace its single director with a five-member commission. Or, Huizenga says, Congress could get rid of the consumer agency entirely.
It just, at a minimum, needs to look much, much different.
The CFPB was the brainchild of Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren, and it's been a flashpoint between Democrats and Republicans for years.
We have been fighting to protect the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau ever since Dodd-Frank became law.
Representative Maxine Waters, a Democrat, says the Bureau was created because regulators weren't doing enough for borrowers.
Consumers were not being protected at all.
Now that Republicans control Congress, they have a better shot at getting their way. The question remains, though, where will President-elect Donald Trump come down on this issue? Trump's website says his administration will dismantle Dodd-Frank. Then again, he's also said he'll be tough on Wall Street. In New York, I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
APM, American Public Media.